If you want to get your favorite technical news, give Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 190. I'm Chris, and I'm here to talk about Apple's Unleashed event, an amazing event that they held on Monday, October 18th, and introduced, among other things, new colors to the HomePod and some the next generation AirPods, but probably more importantly, they introduced the new MacBook Pros. And they're important because Apple again brought out a revolutionary new chips with the M1 Pro and then the M1 Max with much more RAM and capabilities for professional users. It's really interesting to see what Apple is doing. They're really kind of changing the market in a time when processors have stagnated greatly. It's really put I don't know how I want to say this. It's really made a Intel look very badly, and even AMD is a little worried about what's going on in the ARM world, since so many leaps and advances, not only in power to performance ratio, but just raw performance and raw power savings. So, you know, data centers could potentially see huge gains in the savings from power usage. On the you know, small data centers could probably see tens of thousands of dollars a year. Huge data centers could potentially see millions of dollars in power savings alone. Particularly since you have Apple, and then in the workstation and prosumer market, and then you have NVIDIA also investing here in the server market. AMD has even come out and made statements saying that if they need to pivot to ARM, they're going to pivot to ARM. That is not something you're going to see Intel probably say anytime soon, which I think is kind of hilarious. But we'll see how it goes. The other thing that was really revolutionary about, well, it's not so much revolutionary, but it's revolutionary for Apple, was the return of lots of I/O on the new MacBook Pros. They have for a long time limited everything to either a single USB-C on the consumer machines or two Thunderbolt ports on the professional machines, and now we're back to three Thunderbolt ports and HDMI out and micro SD, which, even though they may not be as aesthetically pleasing as the smooth contours of without them, it is definitely something that is a welcome back, because, you know, photographers and programmers and you know, power users, they need those things without having to carry around a bag full of dongles. Actually, that's what I'm looking forward to, is being able to make my laptop bag much, much leaner, because I won't need to carry, you know, a USB-C to HDMI adapter or a, USB-C to lots of other things. Or have a USB-C hub that has a congregation of ports, so that I get a micro HD card slot and an HDMI port and things like that. You will still need to carry around a USB-C to USB-A adapter, and then in my case, I will still have to carry around the Thunderbolt 2 to Thunderbolt 3/4 adapters for some of my peripherals that I use in video streaming. But, again, that's going to make my laptop bag much leaner, because I won't have to carry not only those dongles around, but I won't have to carry those extra cables around. Apple also brought MagSafe back, and they did it in a unique way, because the Thunderbolt ports on the new MacBook Pros will charge the machines just like they currently do on the current 13-inch M1 MacBook Pro or any of the ones before that after they had gotten rid of the MagSafe 2, but it is a cable that plugs into your power adapter, so instead of having to replace your entire power adapter like you used to, it is now just a USB-C to MagSafe 3 connector cable, which, while I don't see it as being something that will be inexpensive, I also don't see it as being a couple hundred bucks, you know, maybe $30 to replace that cable. And we'll, you know, as these Macs get shipped, and we'll see in the early November time frame as people start to get them, we will, you know, get to see what's going on and how those things are going. But I just, you know, this whole new power to performance ratio on these. I mean, the 14-inch MacBook Pro with essentially a fully decked out processor / RAM configuration or unified memory configuration on the M1 Max is getting 17 hours of battery life. The 16-inch, because it's really the same machine with just a bigger screen and a bigger container, can house a bigger battery, and it's even getting longer battery life. Apple also added the Liquid Retina XDR display to the both the 14 and the 16-inch, so giving you a mobile version of the wildly expensive Liquid XDR display that they had brought out with the last revision of the Mac Pro. And come to say that, the Mac Pro is now the only machine that is not an M1 Mac. And so likely we might see those come in 2022, probably maybe early 2022 even, with the popularity of the M1 Max. You know, which the only configuration that would need to change is multiprocessor capabilities. So if you had an M1 Max that you could put two or four of those into a Mac Pro and they would work in a symmetric multiprocessing capability, then, you know, the hardware for the Mac Pro could easily change and it would still provide tons and tons of shared memory. That would be the only other big issue, is getting shared memory, because storage at this point is an 8 terabyte SSD is not necessarily inexpensive. It's certainly much more down to earth price wise than it was. So adding 24 terabytes or 32 terabytes of storage to a Mac Pro should not be a completely obsessive type thing. The other thing that was interesting too is the pricing for the new MacBook Pros, even fully maxed out, a 16-inch is still less than $10,000 for a pro machine that, you know, a business might buy for portable video production or portable audio production, and there are many more very very capable options there as well, because the 14-inch with the M1 Pro, which gets you up to 32 gigs of shared memory, is only $19.99. Going up to the M1 Max, which gets you 64 gigs of memory, of shared memory, is only about a $400 upgrade. So you can get a very capable machine for less than $4,000, and that's including AppleCare. And so, and some of the things that Apple debuted, like some of the video editing and AI techniques that could only be done on desktop machines or servers, it are fully capable with the M1 Max and to some degree the M1 Pro machines. And so, as we see content creators creating more content, I think you're going to see this push to the mobile workstation go even farther than it already has, because why not take your editing bay with you and get content created on the go? So, you know, this is revolutionary in the sense that we might be able to see some things go on now that would have taken, you know, creators would have to have taken their content back to an editing bay with a Mac Pro or other powerful machines to be able to create the effects and things that we've come to expect to see on commercial TV. We might see a lot of this come to amateur creators who are creating on, or should I say pro-am creators who are creating on YouTube, because now they have an affordable yet portable system to be able to do so. Lastly, I want to talk about one other thing that's a big deal that came out just days before before the MacBook Pros were released, or the new MacBook Pros were released, and that is Blender is now becoming M1 native with Metal support. That is huge in the digital video areas. It's also important for engineering, 3D printing, those types of things, because Blender is a tool that can deal with all of that. But having it as an M1 native, and then having these new very, very powerful portable M1 Pro and M1 Max workstations capable of using it, we're now taking that 3D animation again and making it available to more and more creators in a way that we should see some innovative things happen, particularly in that pro amateur or even amateur content creation space. Well, we thank you for listening. Please send feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com, and we'll see you on the digital flip side.
To Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.